Welcome to Talking Politics. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Less than a week, folks. That's all the time you have to make sure you're prepared for Election Day. Of course, we can't go through every race in the 8 minutes we have for this show, but keep listening to Morning Edition and All Things Considered. KBIA has been conducting in-depth interviews with political candidates for regional and statewide office in our studios, and we're airing portions of those in these few days left leading up to the election. We're also posting the full-length interviews on KBIA.org. Go there and search for candidate conversations to watch them in their entirety. And I don't want to make you feel bad if you don't know all about the candidates you'll be voting for yet, but you should know there's been a big group of people here in town that can't even vote that have been researching this for months. Oakland Junior High ninth graders have been preparing for a mock political convention representing local, state, and national candidates. Jessica Reese covered the convention for us and has this.
It's the day before Oakland Junior High's political convention, and it's a little chaotic. Students are making last-minute touches to their poster boards and perfecting their pamphlets and feature stories on the candidates. The students' focus is tangible, and so are the nerves. But 15-year-old Abby Theroff is more excited than anything.
I'm really looking forward to talking to all the people. I love talking in front of people. Like, everybody always would be afraid of it, and I'd always want to do it.
Teachers of the 9th grade Honors English and Government classes have made a tradition of this mock convention since the 2000 election. Students, parents, and teachers start the project at the beginning of the school year every election season. Then students are paired up and assigned a current political candidate at random. The team conducts extensive research, and by the convention, they must have a speech, a written biography, a poster board, and pamphlets about their candidate. Teacher Joshua Johnson says despite the project's workload, the students always pull through.
I think I'm always amazed every time that we do it, what kids are always capable of doing when they have a challenge in front of them and they work towards that, and you believe in them.
Theroff says the project changed her mind about politics.
I didn't really think much about politics, like I hated them until this year, and it really got me interested, like this project in general. Got me interested in politics and like making speeches and helping people and like all these issues. Like I actually started to form an opinion about all these things, and it kind of makes me want to share them.
Student Hunter Johnson says his research on Vice President Joe Biden made him consider issues he never thought of before.
One of the big issues in this campaign is jobs and also the environment. So with this, with his energy idea, we can get America energy independent, help save the environment, and create millions of new jobs. This sort of just came important to me as I was researching the topic.
On the day of the convention, students get to share their research not only with parents and the local community, but some candidates even came to support the students too.
Vicki Hartzler is here to help you every step of the way.
Republican Vicki Hartzler, who is running for re-election as the U.S. Representative of Missouri's 4th District, came in time to see Theroff's speech.
I'm just so proud of them and all the good hard work that they've put into this. It's very encouraging and inspiring.
I was really nervous at first, but after seeing like the relief on like her face, it was just like rewarding because it tells me that she really cares about us and she's really in touch of what we're doing, and she really wants to come out here and support us, and it's just an honor to meet her and everything.
As the event came to an end, students weren't the only ones relieved the project was coming to a close. Johnson stood watching proud of his students.
You know, it's one of those things that I'm very excited about it being over, and it's turning out to be a fantastic event. But I think a lot of times our community doesn't realize how outstanding our kids are here. And anytime we can get a chance to show what our Oakland kids can do, I'm always very proud of that.
During the next election season, the majority of these students will be able to vote. Jessica Reese, KBIA News.
If you are going to do some cramming before you have to fill out your ballot on November 6th, you'll probably find a lot of news stories mentioning the most recent polls. In fact, both the races you'll see on the top of your ballot, the U.S. presidential race and the U.S. Senate race between Democrat Claire McCaskill and Republican Todd Akin, are within the margin of error in some recent polls. In his commentary this week, Columbia College political scientist Terry Smith talks about these polls and what they really tell us.
Here's a political quiz. Which of the following is more annoying? A. Nonstop attack ads on your TV. B. Public opinion pollsters calling your phone. C. Both of the above are equally annoying. C is the correct answer unless a pollster calls during dinner, in which case the correct answer is B. Polling has been around forever and got scientific after the 1948 debacle when George Gallup decided Thomas Dewey was far enough ahead of Harry Truman that he quit polling 3 weeks before the election. Now it feels like polls are being conducted every 3 hours, and we are deluged with results, some of them contradictory, especially polls for the presidential race. Why don't polls agree, and why do some polls simply get it wrong? Part of the answer is straightforward. Pollsters use samples. You'd be surprised how small they are. Just a few hundred people for a statewide or congressional race, so there is a built-in margin of error that the statisticians require. The margin is usually about 4%, so any poll result closer than that tells you that neither candidate has an advantage. Also, a poll can capture only the time period when it is conducted, so even tracking polls describe preferences for only 3 or 4 days. The rest of the answer has to do with technology and the law. Pollsters who talk to you use random digit dialing, but they have to call a lot of people to reach the people they need for the sample. Say, a single female who lives in a suburb. It takes as many as 25 calls before someone answers who will do the poll, which can take 20 minutes. It takes as many as 50 calls before someone who is in the 18 to 30 age group actually picks up the phone and does the poll. Further complicating this are cell phones. Almost one-third of all Americans have cells only. They do not have a landline phone. And often they are not living in the area code where they bought the phone, further messing up the sample. And cell users have less patience for a poll, and their surveys must be shorter, so less information is gathered. And if that weren't enough, federal law prohibits computer-assisted calling to cells, so polling must be done by an actual person, doubling the cost of a poll. By now, I bet you're feeling sorry for the poor people who are employed to make calls for polling companies. But as complicated, expensive, and inexact as polling is, everyone does it, and it will be a fixture of political campaigns for the indefinite future. So, when tonight's dinner is interrupted by a pollster calling, at least tell her to have a nice day. This is Terry Smith.
Don't forget to tune in on election night starting at 7 o'clock for our live election coverage. We'll have reporters across the community covering local and regional races and analysis here in the studio. That's it for this week's Talking Politics. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Thanks for listening.